You're listening to the One for Womankind podcast, episode number 16. Today's episode is an incredibly special one for a few reasons. First, it's our very last interview of season one before we go ahead and dive into One for Womankind Summer School, which I'm so excited to tell you all about. But second, I have a very special guest on with me today. Her name is Lisa Merlo Booth, and she is a phenomenal woman. She works with both couples and women on their relationships, and her big mission in life is to help women use their voices and find their power through speaking up and speaking out. So she is my kind of woman. We're going to get into some deep topics on today's episode, so I'm going to give you a heads up there. But if you're concerned about the state of women today and what's happening with women's rights and how we can help support each other, then you'll definitely want to listen to this episode. So let's go ahead and dive in. You're listening to the One for Womankind podcast, where we're passionate about using small gestures to make a difference in this world. In these intimate conversations, we'll talk about the power of small gestures and how we can use kindness and compassion to show up and support women. If you're passionate about empowering women, desperate for actionable and tangible tips to make a difference, and a firm believer that one small gesture can have a big impact, you're in the right place. I'm your host, startup founder, tax accountant turned podcaster, and admittedly a bit of a cookie monster, Meg Wheeler. I am so excited to have a very special guest on today's episode. Lisa, thanks so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Me too. All right. So to kick it off, tell everyone who you are and what it is that you do.
So my name is Lisa Merlo Booth. I'm a transformational relationship coach, and I specialize in working with couples, probably really tough couples, the couples who have probably been to four or five different therapists and couldn't get through to one of their partners. There's typically one partner who's a little bit harder to get through to. So that's kind of my zone of genius. I like those couples. I also work with any couples, but that's what I do. I also work with women on empowering women to own their power and kind of rise up in the world. So that's my other one. I just wrote a book. I'm super excited about it. Just came out, The Rising, A Revolution for Women. So I have that.
Love
and
it.
Then, yes, I'm excited. And then on the side, I've been, you know, a wife, happily married for 26 years. So knock on wood, excited about that. And then two kids, which I can't even believe. Like, first off, I can't believe I'm old enough to be married 26 years and that I have two kids who are in their 20s.
You don't look it.
Well, thank you. It's like, So, and two kids in my in their 20s who are awesome. So,
oh my gosh. Now, both are past college point or?
No, they're in college. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know.
That's a lot. As the mother of a 2-year-old, in my mind, I'm like, oh, I can't wait till he, you know, can go to college and all of that. But at the same time, I'm sure it's like, you probably miss. Now that you're there.
I know, it's so much. And it's funny because they say it goes so fast. And when they're little, it kind of goes slow for a while. And then it's like, you're like, what happened?
Yes. No, so, I get that. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so excited to have you on the show today. And you said something that I absolutely love and I definitely want to dive into, which is really talking about women and helping them own their power. Yeah. But before we really dive into that, I'd love to know like what even led you to doing that work? Like why did you want to get involved in that? And why does that matter so much to you?
Great question. So I would say unconsciously, this really started at such a young age. I remember just watching my parents. I remember watching the world and just seeing time and time and time again, largely men moving in power over women. And whether it was athletic coaches or politicians or husbands or fathers or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And watching the women just shrink. Watching the women walk on eggshells and not say much. And so I watched that. And as I got older, I decided I wanted to work with families and work with couples. And so I started my own practice and I started specializing with couples. And I saw that pattern play out almost every day in my office. Mm. And I would say probably 80% of the time, it was the men who were moving in power over the women, and the women mm-hmm. who were shrinking. A few times there'd be a switch where it was the women who were more aggressive.
Oh.
And the men would shrink typically. Mm-hmm. And once in a while you'd have a hot couple. You'd have both of them where they were just going at it, right? And so I really wanted to start helping couples. And then more and more with watching these women shrinking again and again and again, and what they're teaching their kids and the marriages that they were staying in, I started working with empowering women and doing the couples work. And then 2016, 17 happened. And I don't even know what I can say other than, yeah. Damn, a fire was lit in me. And, yeah. and then I was like,
a lot of us.
Right. Right. And so then I was like, okay, like I absolutely have to really focus a lot of energy on helping women rise. And let me just put a caveat on that. I love men. People are like, are you a woman? Are you a man hater? Like, oh my goodness. No, I love men. I love my husband. I love my son. There are many amazing men. I actually think that our world harms men as much as it does women, just in different ways. Mm. And I'm starting with women. And right now I feel like, oh dear Lord, I feel like women are at risk right now. Let's just say there is, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like there is I don't even know how to explain it. I feel like our rights are being, challenged. Our freedom is being challenged. Everything is being challenged. And women are part of that. Women are part of the ones who are voting these men in, who are like, oh my goodness.
I know. Well, and so let me ask you, I have so many questions, but I think one of the first ones, this is more just a personal question I'm curious about. I've thought a lot over the last few years, like I've had the same feelings. This is so tough. This feels so horrible. But then I also sit there and I wonder, is this just what every generation goes through, right? Because there, think back to the early 1900s when women were fighting for the right to vote. Think to the middle of the century when, minorities were fighting for their rights. And I just keep wondering, and not to explain it away by any means, but I just keep wondering, like, is it actually worse? Or is this just what we keep going through? And maybe the hope is that every time we go through it, we make a little bit more progress. But I don't know. That's more just a personal curiosity. But
Yeah. I get it. So what I would say is that things often need to get bad in order for people to rise up and stand up. Mm. And over, since the beginning of time, that has been happening. What's happening now is pulling us backwards, right?
Yeah.
It's not like we're trying to push forward. We're like trying to get above ground again. And so, I feel like the people who are pushing now are white men in power because they're freaking out that their power is being taken away.
Yes. Right? Like we've finally woken up. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so now they're freaking out and now they're trying to shut down, minorities, shut down women, they're trying to take everybody's power away because they're freaking out. And we're in trouble if women don't rise to that because they are right now in positions of power making ridiculous laws that are harming all of us.
And at the time of this recording, this has been a rough week for women's rights.
Oh my God.
Every week is rough, but it's funny. I just posted on Facebook the other day, like a graphic, and it said, okay, so you're criminalizing abortions. And we don't let felons vote. Oh, I see what's happening here. And I thought that was really interesting. Right. because to your point, I feel like so much that's happening right now is really about taking away the voice of women and taking away our ability to stand up and speak out and fight back. So I just, it feels overwhelming.
You are so right. This is a really tough week for women. Like an hour ago, I just saw that not only is Alabama and other states doing the law on abortion, they also, so there's already a law right now that says that false accusations and filing false reports in the police station is illegal, right?
Right,
and
right.
You can, you know, there's consequences to that.
Sure.
So now, along with the abortion ruling, they also are making a law that if women falsely accuse someone of rape, that they will have to pay the rapist lawyer's fees and serve jail time. Now, okay, so let me just, let's just put this in perspective for a moment. 23% of, only 23% of rapes get reported, right? And like 0.5% of those actually get found guilty. And of those that get found guilty, men the male judges feel bad for these men because this is actually going to harm their future. And so they give them a slap on the wrist. And so this idea that we need to make a law that if women are falsely, first off, if we're going to do that, we need to make a law that if the accused rapist is found to later be lying, that he should pay the woman's fees and he should serve a minimum of 10 years, right? And the judge who let him go should also lose his right to serve on the bench. Let's stop playing these games that we're going to do all these laws against women when the men are the ones who are raping, the men are the ones who are assaulting, the men are the ones, give me a break.
I know. Well, and you know what I found really frustrating about a lot of these situations is, you know, 5 years ago, if someone had said to me, we're going to have a law that says if you falsely accuse someone of a crime that you have to pay their legal bills, I'm a reasonable, rational person. I would say, well, that sounds pretty rational to me, right?
Right.
So these are things that when you say them on their face, otherwise reasonable people might be like, well, yeah, that seems right. But the problem is they completely ignore what's actually going on and what the intent of these laws is. And as you thank you so much for pointing out all of those statistics, like, how do you determine the falsely accused part? Right. You know, so to your point, most rape cases don't actually end in convictions for the accused rapist. So does that mean in all of those situations, the women are now going to be on the hook for those legal fees?
Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Just crazy. Because first off, many of the rapists who are found not guilty are guilty as hell.
Yes.
The problem is this happens behind closed doors. And you know, one of the things that I'm fired up about with women is the only power we have is our own. Right. Mm-hmm. We only have the power to change ourselves. We cannot change rapists. We can't change politicians. We don't have power over there, except we sure as hell can vote, by the way. But
yes.
I'll get to that later. But so women have to. One of the things women do is, and this is crazy. So I forget what the actual number is, but like 25% of women don't believe that they can be raped by a partner or a date.
What?
Right? And so they don't report it. Another 25% won't report if they had anything to drink or if they flirted.
Yep.
And so that's stuff that we as women can absolutely change. If we can't tell ourselves, look, rape is forced intercourse. Forced. Right? So, if you didn't say, you know, hey, I want to do this. I want to be sexual. And if they forced you, I had to drink.
Right. Exactly.
And I don't care if they're your husband.
Right. Well, and I'm so glad you brought that up because it's, you know, I'm very grateful and thankful to be in a very respectful marriage. But I am constantly now being reminded of that not being the case. And I think there are still countries where marital rape is not a thing.
Yes.
It's not a crime. So I think we all need to wake up and realize that that is absolutely 100% still an issue. And I love that you brought that up. But the other thing that I'm thinking about too that's coming to mind is Dr. Ford, who testified in front of Congress. And, you know, I'm a very strong woman and I 110% support her and support other women coming forward. But that was a message to the women of this world that, you know, even if you are respected and smart and strong and brave and you come out and you tell your story, we are going to tear you apart and it's not going to make a difference. So what do we say to girls when that is the reality that we've just come out of?
Oh, that's so hard.
Let's start with the easy questions.
No, I mean, I think that's a great question and I think we're up against it. So one, we need to look at the dynamics that not only does she get blamed and, mm-hmm. you know, by women and men, we can, again, you're going to hear me so many times, women, yes. we have to get control of what we can control, which is us. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many women said, oh my gosh, give me a break. You know how many years ago, this is political. Look at her. She's like, he looks like a nice man. He's made it this far. Like, stop the craziness. Women, mm-hmm. we have to stop that craziness. So many women excused him.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah. so we have to stop that. That's just ludicrous. So what do girls do now? And this is, we're in one of the best times if we act quick. Because I'm a little worried that this window is closing fast.
Yeah.
But with the Me Too movement, for the first time in my lifetime that I can ever remember, not only were women being believed, but powerful mm-hmm. men were losing their jobs.
Yes.
That's like unheard of, mm-hmm. right? And so now it is feeling like women are quieting down. It's feeling mm-hmm. like the men are ramping up. Mm-hmm. And so what I would say to all the women, young girls, 15, 16, 10, I don't care how old you are, 90, you have to rise because now is the only time. We have a window. And if we don't rise, that window is slamming down on us so fast.
Yeah.
So if somebody is grabbing you, you speak to it. If you can't speak to it now, then a day later you do it. You tell your friend, you tell mm-hmm. your mother, you tell a... You record it on a tape recorder and mm-hmm. say what the date is and say, here's the time. Here's what happened. I actually, right after all this started happening, I came up with, it's called a rape toolkit.
Okay.
And it's just a form that they can fill out because sometimes, especially when you're young and Christine, you know, Dr. Ford, what she said was I was young and I didn't want my mom to know I was drinking with
right.
kids, you know, and I shouldn't have done that. And so all this form is if something happens, if you get attacked, even by a date, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Even someone you're dating, write it down. And this form just has all like a bunch of information mm-hmm. and then share it with a friend and let your friend answer the form and write right. down information. So first I would say, even if you're not ready to report something now, 7 years from now, if you actually, and it's funny, my niece is a lawyer. So I like walked through this with her and she's like, okay, Lisa, this is what you need. And so you got to put the date and the time and where it was, because all those details that Dr. Yeah. Ford couldn't remember, which of course she couldn't remember, what's the address and how did you get there? Like,
how did you get home? I was like, I wouldn't remember that.
Are you kidding me? You're panicked. You have this guy who tries to rape you. What do you, so anyway, so I would say just, for all women, all females right now, know ahead of time that you are going to do whatever you can to stand up. If you can't report it, you're going to tell somebody. If you can't tell somebody, you're going to write it down. If you got to do something because because you deserve it. We all deserve it.
This episode is brought to you by One for Women, the online gift company featuring gift sets designed for everyday moments. All of the products in One for Women's gift sets come from women makers, and a portion of all sales go back to nonprofits that support women and girls. One for Women's mission is simple. One small gesture can have one really big impact. To save 10% on your next order, head on over to oneforwomen.com and use the code podcast.
Okay, so let me ask you that. Another easy question. I'm winking. Let me ask you this: for why do we think? Because I'm really glad you brought this up too about the women who are working against women's rights, and I really struggle with this. This is one of the things that just really eats me up inside, and I don't know how to fix it. But what do you think is going on there? Why are these women, so many of them, really rallying against women speaking out and fighting for our rights?
Because I call it the big sham. we have been ingrained to our souls from the moment we took our first breath, right? The big sham is the integration of gender messaging, our gender socialization, mm-hmm. misogyny, and patriarchy. And these messages come in like ad nauseum. Every commercial we see, every movie we watch, every time we see or hear a story about a woman being raped and they mm-hmm. say, oh, did you see what she was wearing?
Mm-hmm.
Be nice. Be kind. Don't be a bitch. Your worth is in a man. You better find a man to love you. How many women didn't have their mothers or grandmothers saying, did you find a cute boy yet? Mm-hmm. Oh, honey, you better find a man. You need a man. So all of those messages just from the time we're born tell us to shut down, quiet, right? Be quiet, be nice, put the needs and wants of everybody before your own. Mm-hmm. Honey, don't make waves and go along to get along. And you need a man in order to find your worth. Mm-hmm. Well, hell, of course. So what are these women doing? These women are backing the men because if they back the men, they can be on the in. Mm-hmm. They can be on the inside. What they don't understand is you are not on the inside. These men are mocking you to each other. These men know, like, you're not on the inside with them. You think I'm saving a life. Like, okay, let's talk about the abortion bill.
Yeah.
Because it just came out. Let me tell you, make no mistakes. Any woman, if you're against abortion and you have a rich husband or your husband's in politics or whatever, let's not fool ourselves. If he impregnates his mistress, mm-hmm. I will bet you hands down, one, he will force her to have an abortion if there's too much hell to pay for him. He will fly her to Zimbabwe if he needs to.
Yes.
He will find any doctor. Yep. And he will pay anybody off that he needs to make sure that doesn't get out. So let's not fool ourselves that these white men in power are really about these poor babies. Mm-hmm. They're not.
Nope.
That is not the case. It is about power and control. And abortions will happen. They will just happen by the rich and the privileged. Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that for me is actually the scariest part, is that I feel like so much of what's happening in our world right now isn't changing behavior. It's just making it harder for people to get whatever it is that they need, whether it's mental health treatment or treatment for women, in a healthy and safe and affordable way. And so I can't even find words sometimes because I just get so enraged by all of it. And I love that you said it's not about the babies for them, because it's not. If you care about the kids, let's have better education, better healthcare. Let's get our, you know, parents to have better jobs so that they can take care of their families. Let's have, birth control and sex education in the school systems. Like, I am just, I'm losing my mind.
Yeah, you care about the kids, but yet you would allow a rapist to have rights for his child.
Yes.
That's not caring about a child.
No.
You allow domestic violence, those perpetrators, they can have visitations and they can have custody of their children. Don't begin to tell me this is about the children, because you don't support the mothers when they do it. The men can leave. How about we put laws against fathers who abandon their children? Mm-hmm. Let's do that. If we're going to do this, let's play even. I'm okay with playing even. Let's play even. Right?
Well, I liked there was a thing floating around. I think it was on Facebook that, you know, okay, if we're going to regulate abortions and birth control, well, why aren't we regulating vasectomies and Viagra? Yeah.
Right.
I'm just saying, it's all in the same camp.
Absolutely. And women have to get educated, because like you said, some of these laws are like, oh, I get that. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And listen, I personally do believe that if a woman blatantly falsely accuses a man, that she should serve jail time, the amount that he would have, which is maybe 3 months, right? But yes, like, we cannot, all of us should be held accountable for being good human beings.
Mm-hmm.
But this is all a sham. It's really about taking women's power away. And women on both sides of the aisle, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, in between, I don't care. You have to educate yourself on both sides. Because we are so in trouble if we don't.
Oh, yes. Oh my goodness. Everything you said. Yes. So let me ask you this. So you gave some really great actionable tips for women who unfortunately find themselves in situations of sexual abuse, sexual violence. What about the rest of us who are, you know, maybe standing on the sidelines and watching all of this go down? And it doesn't just have to be for all of the sexual violence issues that we're seeing now, or even the abortion, but what can those of us do? Because I think, you know, and I've talked about this on the podcast before, but what I hear from a lot of women is they feel really overwhelmed. You know, we've got these marches, and yes, we can go vote, and there are political campaigns you can get involved in, you could run for office, but all of that seems really overwhelming. And if you've never really been in any of those spheres, to put your foot in just feels like a lot.
Yeah.
So what can the rest of us actually do? Those of us who get how scary this is, you know, what are some actually tangible, actionable things we can do to make a difference?
Yeah. So one of the things, there's a couple things. One is place blame where it lies, right? In my book, I talk about like five power blockers that really keep women playing small. And one of them is misplaced blame. And so blame belongs to the person who did the act, right? So if your husband cheated, it's not because you gained weight, right? Place blame 100% on the person who did the action. If you picked your son up an hour late at school and he threw a temper tantrum and started calling you every name in the book, you are responsible for picking him up late. He is responsible for the temper tantrum and calling you every name in the book. Do not confuse those two. Mm. We blame ourselves for the actions of others. We have to stop doing that. Hold yourself accountable for your own action. How somebody else reacts to it is their job. That's their work. That's their responsibility. That has nothing to do with you. So that's one.
I love that. That's great.
The second one is stand up.
Mm.
Stand. I my work is a lot about a grounded, powerful strength. Our world confuses power with aggression, and we think standing up is moving in power over others. Power from within. I don't need to yell and scream and go off on you. What I do need to do is stand my ground. Mm-hmm. I can't stop you from yelling or raging at me, but I sure as hell can stop myself from standing there and taking it. So we have to stand our ground. Those would be the two things that I would say.
I love that. You know, it's one of the things I've worked a lot on over the last 2 years since the 2016 election is really trying to not react to things I hear or see that are just incredibly offensive to me. And I, you know, I'm reminded, and I don't remember the exact quote, but I'm reminded of something Justice Ginsburg said, which was along the lines of, you know, the way to actually persuade someone is not to scream. It's to just, you know, speak calmly and continue speaking. Yeah. And I think that that's so important for us to remember as women, because I see too often that we are either shouting or we're retreating.
Yes.
And it is hard. It's hard to just stand there and take it. But the more we can just sort of go inward and believe in what we're saying and what we're standing up for and kind of just build the wall. I was about to say build the wall. And then I was like, that's the wrong, the wrong phrase. Can't use that one anymore. Build a wall between us and that hatred.
Well, let me jump in a little bit on that. Like, I don't want you to stand there and take it. Like, let's not confuse.
That's fair.
Like, so if let's say you're at work and somebody starts making a comment about, oh, you know, look how sexy you are, or starts talking about your sexual whatever, right? You stop. You look in the eye and you say, that's sexual harassment. Are you aware of that? If you say something like that to me again, or if I see you say it to anybody else, I will report you. Am I clear about that?
I like that.
I'm not yelling. I'm not screaming, but I am absolutely owning my power. I'm grounded. That's a grounded, powerful strength. It's just matter of fact. And so it's not just words. I will take action.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes I might give somebody a chance. Hey, this is your first, this is strike one. If I see it again, this is what I'll do. Choice is yours. Do with it what you want. This is what women have to do that day to day in our just minute to minute lives right now. Don't stop laughing at the sexist jokes. Stop smiling when they're grabbing you. Don't do that.
Well, and I think we need to do it for each other too, right?
Yes.
You know, if we see it, it's it, because I had a conversation with my mom when the Me Too stuff first came out, And she said to me, she said, I've never been sexually harassed. And I was like, never? I find that really right. hard to believe. Come on, mom, you haven't lived in a cave for 60 years.
Right.
And I think what was really going on there was that she just never knew to identify it, because that was what her generation grew up with. That was what they, you know, you talked about this at the beginning, the way we were raised. That was just the way it was. Find a man will take care of you.
Yeah.
And that was just the part of the culture. And so I think for a lot of women, even now, and a lot of men too, you know, they're just now realizing right. what this is and that it's not okay. And so I think for those of us who maybe are a little bit more aware or more comfortable speaking up, mm-hmm. I think it's really our obligation to do that, you know, for each other so that we can help each other out.
Absolutely. And the men, I do agree also that the men are becoming more aware. The good guys are, right?
Yes.
And some of the good guys are curious. Mm-hmm. And they're like, is this sexual harassment? Is mm-hmm. this okay? Is that okay? And I encourage like women,
yes.
answer them. Like, that's great. I love that. Let them be curious, because really we like our world has taught them so many things, and women and men alike have said, oh, boys will be boys. It's just locker room talk. It's mm-hmm. so we need to re-educate them. And when they get curious, yes, mm-hmm. compassionately, lovingly, and with strength, answer their questions.
I love that. Cause it's funny, when this all came out, my husband came to me. And he was like, I'm really overwhelmed by this. And I said, what's going on? He's a lawyer. He works in a law firm. So, you know, a lot of people around, a lot of women. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I'm just not going to talk to anybody. I'm just afraid. And I said to him, I go, he said to me, he asked, he goes, how do I know I'm not doing it? And I said, well, the fact that you're even concerned about it
right.
makes you already in that good group, that like you're trying to make sure that you're not doing anything to make women uncomfortable. Right. That means you're aware and mm-hmm. concerned about how they feel.
Right.
And that's like, that's the difference right there. So I love that you said that for, you know, for men to be curious is okay. And we want to be able to educate them and, you know, create allies for us, because they will be our allies if we take advantage of that. So.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, Donald Trump did so much damage around this when he's mm-hmm. like, our boys should be afraid. No, no,
no,
no, no. Let me, in case they couldn't hear that, no. Mm-hmm. One more time, no. Our boys should not be afraid. Our girls should be afraid. Right? And let's right. not mix that up.
Mm-hmm. And
your husband, listen. Don't grab women without their permission. Don't
right.
show up and feel like you can grab their boob or you can grab their butt.
Right.
You are not entitled to their body. Mm-hmm. You're just not, right?
Yeah.
Don't comment about their body.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, you know, ask them about their sexual escapades. Don't tell them what you want to do with their body.
Exactly.
Don't whip your body parts out and think that they're so excited about that.
No, we're not. We're really not. Yeah, it's actually pretty easy.
It's very easy. Stop the craziness. And this idea that, oh my gosh, mothers should be worried about their sons. Stop it. No, you should be worried for your daughters.
And I think this goes back to what we talked about at the beginning with this law, you know, that women who accuse men would have to pay or go to jail if, you know, if they're false accusations. This is, again, one of those things that, yes, if that were an actual problem, then that law might be reasonable, but it's not an actual problem. The amount of women that falsely accuse men is like absurdly low.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'm thinking about this too, kind of in the context of the voting stuff as well, right? The voting fraud, because I think it's a similar thing where something that, you know, is an issue in the sense that it happens, but is not an issue because it doesn't happen that often,
right.
is being turned into a big problem for political sake. But in reality, we don't need laws to fix this because it's just not that big of an issue,
right.
you know? So mothers should not be out there worrying about their sons. They should be out there worrying about the women in this world, themselves, their friends, their daughters, their sisters, because we are the ones in trouble. And so I thank you for pointing that out. Hey friends, love to read but feel like you never have the time? Do you spend the better part of your day stuck in the car or on the subway? Then you should check out Audible. I've been a member of Audible for years and absolutely love that I can download all of my favorite books and listen to them when I'm on the go so that I can still get lost in a good book on my own terms. For you, listeners of One for Womankind, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Recently, I've been obsessed with Michelle Obama's Becoming, and I just finished up Donald Miller's Building a Story Brand, all on Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to oneforwomen.com/audible. Again, that's oneforwomen.com/audible for your free audiobook. We always ask every guest two questions. Mm-hmm. So the first is, what is one small gesture that someone has done for you in the past that stands out in your mind and why?
So this is so funny. Just recently, a friend of mine sent me a video thank you card. Ooh. She had the hardest life. This past year was so tough. She had breast cancer, a key death. And so she's like, I just wanted to thank those who really like, and I opened the video card kind of, you know, and it was just her on video saying, thank you so much for what you did. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's the coolest thing.
Okay. You can know? I just say she is my people because small side note. So for everyone who knows me well, you know that I hate writing thank you notes, and it's not because I mean, I love to thank people. But just the act of like sitting down, and I always draft, like I do a draft before of what I'm going to say, because I get very anxious. I'm not going to fit it all on the little stinking card, you know, and it just is so overwhelming. And so my thank you notes end up being months and months and months late, and it becomes this big stressor. So I forget what it was for. It was for a dinner. My friends threw me. I did video thank yous. I hopped, because I'm very comfortable on camera. I've got my setup already in my studio. Yeah. I hopped on video and I sent a video thank you. And I was like, this is my thing.
Oh my God. I am feeling it. I'm telling you, my friend did it. And I was like, this is brilliant. I hate
That's awesome.
Thank you notes. You're better than I am, because then I forget and I don't. And then I feel shame. I'm like, oh
yeah.
And oh my gosh. So that was very cool.
Do you ever, as someone else who hates thank you notes, do you ever do that thing where you're like, okay, it's been so long. If someone asks me, maybe they'll buy that it got lost in the mail. Like I think about that. I'm like, what excuse? Like I'm not a liar. But I'm like, I wonder what I could say.
What could I say? I know. Oh, it's really, thank you cards are like my nemesis. Ugh.
I hear That's you. Funny. All right. Last question. And then I'm going to have you tell everyone all about where they can find you. But what is one small actionable gesture that our audience can take to stand up and support women? You've given us a ton already, but I always like to end with, if there's just one more you want to share.
Honor women in your words, in what you say to them, what you say about them, how you talk about the women in your lives, how you talk to yourself and about yourself, how you allow others in your field a vision to talk to women and about women. Honor women.
I love it. Oh, that's a great place to wrap up. Okay, tell everyone where they can find you. Tell us about the book. How can we get in touch with you?
Thank you. So my website, the book is The Rising, A Revolution for Women, and you can find that on Amazon. My website is lisamerlobooth.com. I have a Facebook page, which is The Rising, A Revolution for Women. Join that page, looking for as many women to rise up. And there you go.
I love it. And that will all be in the show notes so everyone can find it there. Lisa, thank you so much for being on. This was a fun conversation. And even though we talked about some really tough topics.
I know. Went there. I wasn't expecting to go there, but you know.
No, this is good. It's funny. I think you are the first person who's ever said the word Donald Trump on this show. So we've been able to avoid it until now. but you know, I think it was a great conversation because it was really important conversations to have. So thank you so much for being on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a privilege.
Can I just say how thrilled I am that I had the chance to talk with Lisa? It's so funny. When we planned out this episode months ago, I never knew it was going to end up there. But that's what I love about One for Womankind, is that we end up getting the best conversations, frankly, the conversations that we need to have as women. And so I'm just so happy that Lisa and I had the chance to talk. I know we talked about some really tough topics today, and I know we went political. But here's the thing. the stuff that's going on in this world right now, the attacks on women, that's not political, or it shouldn't be. That's something that all of us should be feeling deep down in our core. And I honestly think that's something that all of us should be standing up and speaking out against. I hope you got some value out of this episode. If it was a tough episode for you, I hear you and I'm here for you. If these are issues that matter to you and that concern you, I hope that you will take some of Lisa's actionable steps and do a little good for women in the world. And I would love for you to check out her book. It's amazing. And I'm just so excited to see her rise. Now, I want to tell you about something super exciting that we have going on for this very first summer of One for Womankind. So originally, we were going to take a little break for the summer and then come on back for season two in the fall. But I decided that there are too many important conversations for us to have that I just didn't want to take that break. So here's what we're going to do. I am so excited to announce One for Womankind Summer School, and it's going to be starting in just a couple of weeks. Here's how it's going to work. I'm sitting down with my very best girlfriends, one at a time, one every week, and we are going to talk about the really tough stuff that's keeping us up at night. We're going to dive into politics. We're going to dive into women's rights. We're going to talk about leadership and how to support each other. And we'll have a few fun and silly topics thrown in there. But here's what's going to make One for Womankind Summer School different. First, it is going to be completely unedited. That's right. You are going to get the full real deal. Now, to be honest, our episodes aren't really edited that much anyway. You generally get most, if not all, of what we say. But in summer school, you're going to get it all, and there are definitely some bloopers. So don't judge us too harshly. Number two, the thing that makes summer school different, for the most part, none of my friends showing up for these episodes will know what the topic is before we sit down to talk about it. We actually have a grab bag full of topics that we will be choosing from. And here's the kicker, I won't know either. So neither one of us will be prepared for this topic. You are getting it completely off the cuff. I really hope that you enjoy One for Womankind Summer School. I'm super excited to try it out. It's been a lot of fun to sit down with my girlfriends and really get deep into some of these amazing topics. But I am back here next week for the very last episode of season number one of One for Womankind, and I really hope that you will tune in for that. It's going to be great. Until next time, be kind. Hey, thanks for listening to the One for Womankind podcast. Dive into the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at oneforwomankind.com. And if you love the show, share it with a friend. We're all about spreading the love here at One for Womankind. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.